This is the weekly wrap-up of the Trend Out Loud podcast. Before I get to any mess that happened at the Grammy Awards, let me tell you guys about some notable winners. Killer Mike had a clean sweep. He swept in every single category he was in. He won Best Rap Album, Best Rap Song, and Best Rap Performance. Shout out to Killer Mike. Victoria Monet won Best R&B Album. SZA won Best Progressive R&B Album. Truth be told, I don't know what the difference is between progressive R&B and R&B, but shout out to Victoria Monet and shout out to SZA because I love them both. Billie Eilish won Song of the Year. Miley Cyrus won Record of the Year for Flowers, which I thought was a really good choice because I actually really, really like that song. It's actually a really catchy song, and we're going to listen to that song years from now. That's a good track. Victoria Monet won for Best New Artist. Jay-Z won the Dr. Dre Global Icon Award. And I'm sure most of you have heard by now, Taylor Swift has won her fourth Album of the Year for Midnights. All right, I'm going to start my takes off with Taylor Swift. I am a Montrealer, a Quebecer, and a Jamaican. And you guys know that Quebecers, Montrealers, and Jamaicans, everybody in the West Indian loves Celine Dion. And Taylor Swift completely disrespected Celine Dion on the podium. Celine Dion has been very vocal about the disease that she's dealing with, stiff person syndrome. So it was a shock to see Celine Dion show up at the Grammy Awards. It was a standing ovation. Everybody was so happy to see her there. She looked amazing. She sounded amazing. Everybody was just in awe of seeing her. And of course, she was there to present the most coveted award of the night, Album of the Year. When she first came out, Taylor Swift was in her seat applauding. She was like, oh my gosh, Celine Dion. And then when she announced that Taylor Swift won, Taylor Swift was acting all shocked, like it was the craziest award of her entire life. She's won three already, so I don't know what she's so shocked about. But she walks up to the stage and she totally doesn't even acknowledge Celine Dion. She takes the award from Celine Dion and doesn't even look at her, doesn't thank her, doesn't hug her. And then she gets up to the mic, says a bunch of stuff, says her thank yous and her acknowledgments. And she never says anything about Celine Dion. Thank you for making it here, for presenting me this award, and just acts like Celine Dion wasn't there. It was totally disrespectful. Of course, Taylor Swift's PR team heard all the people complaining about this on Twitter and social media. And then like 10 or 15 minutes after the award show, you started seeing pictures of Celine Dion and Taylor Swift popping up online. I'm going to put up the picture on my YouTube page for those who are watching this. And by the way, I'm not going to put any audio or video of the award show because CBS is very tight with that and they're probably going to take my video down. So I'm not going to put in any audio of CBS of the Grammy Awards, but I will put up some pictures. But like I said, Taylor Swift, them putting out like a picture of her and Celine Dion hugging after is not enough. Taylor needs to come up, like make a tweet about it. She needs to tweet about it, or she just needs to make a video and be like, hey, really sorry, I was overwhelmed, whatever the explanation could be. And I don't understand how she could be so overwhelmed, because like I said, she's won the award three times already. So how do you just not acknowledge the queen, Celine Dion? Like, this is like one of the top five vocalists of our time. Like, it's just not even of our time, of singers period. But anyways, I just thought that was really disrespectful of Taylor. That was my little rant. Like I said, I'm a Montrealer, I'm a Quebecer, and I have to stand up for my people. So shout out Celine Dion. I'm happy that you're doing so much better. I'm happy that you're able to make it out, and I hope that one day you could actually go back out on tour and perform. Anyways, shout out to Celine Dion. I am going to move on now. So let me start back at the top of the show. Trevor Noah hosted the show. He did a really good job. There's been a lot of back and forth about, you know, hosting and comedians hosting nowadays. But I really think that Trevor Noah did a really good job. His jokes were funny. He didn't offend anybody. There wasn't like any awkward silences. So Trevor Noah did a good job. Like I said at the top, Killer Mike won. He swept all three categories that he was in. Oddly enough, he was arrested during the award ceremonies. There was a video, I'll maybe put up the video, of him being handcuffed and being walked out in the middle of the award show, which was totally uncalled for. Apparently, some reports are saying that he had a disagreement with a security guard, and he got arrested on misdemeanor charges. Teslin Figueroa put out this post maybe around 10, 11 o'clock, and she said, update, I talked to Killer Mike's wife. He was arrested and has now been released 30 minutes ago. So this was around 11 o'clock. So he wasn't able to be there in the award show, but apparently I heard that he kind of maybe went to some after parties after. I'm not too sure about that, but totally disrespectful. Even if the LAPD needed to arrest him or needed to speak with him, we all know where he was. They could have waited till after the award show instead of embarrassing this man like that. He just won 3 Grammy Awards for one album, and that's just disrespectful. What else happened? The Grammys made a mistake with announcing Best Rap Song. They made a mistake and they announced that Nicki Minaj and Ice Spice won for Best Rap Song. While the award ceremony is going on, the Twitter account for the Grammy Awards live tweets the winners. And they made a mistake. It was Killer Mike that won, but they announced that Nicki Minaj and Ice Spice won. I was listening to The Breakfast Club this morning, and Charlamagne thinks that it was done purposely to kind of get people talking. And, you know, we all know how social media works. The more viral something goes and, you know, you piss off a certain demographic of people, people are going to retweet it. It starts trending. And all you hear is the Grammys are trending. And ironically, I didn't even know that the Grammy Awards were this Sunday. And guess what? How I found out? I found out because this popped up on my Instagram feed of Nicki Minaj and Ice Spice being, you know, they were not the real winners, that the Grammy Awards made a mistake and was really Killer Mike. And there was like, not 100,000, but it was like 10 or 20,000 comments underneath. And I was like, oh yeah, the Grammy Awards are on. So maybe Charlamagne is on to something, like who knows? Anyways, the Grammy Awards made a mistake and they fixed that. What else happened? Jay-Z won the award for the Dr. Dre Global Impact Award, and he took the opportunity to voice his opinion on the award shows, on the Grammys, not getting it right, especially when it comes to hip-hop and R&B and your black celebrities, just call it what it is. He talked about DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, Will Smith, boycotting for winning the first Grammy Awards and not being televised. And then he boycotted it. Then when Jay-Z won in 1998, he boycotted it because DMX wasn't nominated. And then also he talked about Beyonce having more Grammys than anybody in the world. And she has never won Album of the Year. But then you have Taylor Swift, who's only won 14 Grammys, and of her 14 Grammys, 4 are for Album of the Year. So it's kind of just a little bit like, well, how does that make sense? One is the most awarded Grammy Award winner, but you don't give her Album of the Year, but Taylor Swift has won 14. So that means that she's only won 10 for other things, but then 4 for Album of the Year. And you cannot sit down and tell me that Beyonce doesn't make good albums. Because that's what some people are saying online, is that maybe she makes good songs and that's why she's winning awards, but Album of the Year is a collective project. Are you trying to tell me that Beyonce doesn't make good, solid albums? Like, you could sit down and listen to a Beyonce song from the first track to the last track and you don't have to skip it. Like, it's a cohesive album. I understand there's some artists out there who shall remain nameless. I'm not trying to start any beef, but yes, we all know there's some artists that are just track based, especially nowadays. There's a lot of artists that are just, you know, trying to make it on TikTok and they're trying to make it on, you know, social media. They're trying to make trends. Like, Beyonce makes full collective cohesive albums. So there's no reason why Beyonce should have never have won Album of the Year. So shout out to Jay-Z for calling the Grammy Awards out on that. And also shout out to him for bringing up Blue up there, his daughter Blue. I can't believe how big she is. She's almost like his height. It's weird because we all saw Blue growing up. But anyway, shout out to the Carter family. And lastly, my last take on something was the Burna Boy. performance. I was so excited to see Burna Boy perform. It was announced that Burna Boy is going to be performing. It will be the first time Afrobeats will ever be performed at the Grammys, or an African artist performed at the Grammys. And I was so excited. That's actually how I heard about the Grammys a couple of weeks ago. And then, like I said, I forgot that it was actually last night. So I was so excited to tune in to see Burna Boy. And then, like, no shade towards Brandy and 21 Savage, but he did Sitting on Top of the World. And I guess the remix is with 21 Savage. And he brought out Brandy and 21 Savage. Like, we want to see Afrobeats. We don't want to see Brandy and 21 Savage. We don't want an American version of Afrobeats. And Sitting on Top of the World is the least Afrobeat sounding song that Burner has. So listen, on the one side, I understand coming from the music industry, you're there, being in the music industry in the past. I understand the Grammy Awards or any award show, you're there to promote your new material. I totally get that. And that's the lead single for his new album. So I get why you don't want to promote albums from 2 or 3 or 5 years ago. However, this is not the third or fourth time you're on a stage. This is the first time ever. You're there representing the continent of Africa. You're there representing a quote unquote, new genre of music. Although Afrobeats is really 20, 25 years old, but it's new to us here in North America. And it's actually arguably taking over dancehall and hip hop. So I just think for the first time for it to be on the Grammy stage, I just think that Burner should have done a better job at maybe even bringing some other Afrobeat artists, or really just doing his old stuff and letting this crowd at the Grammys and the Grammy people who are watching at home really understand what Afrobeats is all about. It was just really bad. I could read a couple of comments. Somebody said he should have done it himself. Somebody said, did they skip sound check? Somebody said, this sounds like a mess. Somebody said they should have let him do it alone. Brandy is a little extra, isn't she? Shout out to Brandy. This is no shade at Brandy. Somebody said Burner should have carried his performance alone. He's a better performer than any human being present tonight. Okay, I don't know about all that, but anyways, man, they should have really just let him do his thing. Like I said, I just wanted to show you that it's just not my proof. Not just my opinion. Somebody wrote, Afrobeats where? Brandy's mic sounded louder than Burner's. It's true. You couldn't even really hear Burna Boy. You couldn't hear. Anyways, it was just a total mess. But shout out to Burner. You know, he's one of my favorite artists. But I was just really disappointed in that. And I guess that's all I have to say. So yeah, that's my Grammy roundup. Like I said, it was a really good show. Trevor Noah did well. Everybody did well. All the performance was really good. Billy Joel came out. He hadn't written or performed in 30 years. All around, because sometimes some award shows can get a little bit boring. All around, I was happy with it, except for a couple of mishaps. But it was a good show. I liked it a lot. So shout out to the Grammys. Talking on music, Universal Music has pulled its music, all of its music, off of TikTok. So if you guys remember, I told you this last week where Universal Music was threatening TikTok to remove all the Universal artists off of the app. And I was saying to you, like, I don't really think this is going to happen. I think it's really a threat. Well, I was wrong. They actually really did it. Let me read the report to you. Universal Music Group, a powerhouse in the music industry, has decided to pull its catalog off of TikTok. The core of the dispute is Universal Music Group demands better compensation for their music, reflecting its values and contribution to TikTok's success. On the flip side, TikTok defends its position as a vital platform for music discovery and artist promotion. I can't lie, I could really see both sides of the argument here, because a lot of songs, a lot of music gets broken on TikTok nowadays and not on radio. I'll continue. Universal Music Group is not just fighting for more cash. They're worried about their music being mishandled by TikTok's AI, losing its soul in the process. TikTok clapped back, saying Universal Music Group is just being greedy and forgetting about the free promo they're getting from their billions of users. Like I said, this is a pretty decent argument. I cannot lie. For the average TikTok user, the absence of Universal Music's catalog might not be immediately noticeable. However, as time goes on, users may feel the impact, particularly when discovering new music. Users accustomed to engaging with content featuring hits from artists like Taylor Swift might explore a more diverse range of music, potentially benefiting lesser known artists. This could also challenge content creators who rely on trendy music to attract views and engagements, pushing them to be more creative. I don't know about this one, man. I really don't know what's going to happen. I don't see this lasting very long. People say it's not going to last very long. But hey, I was wrong, and I'm sure a bunch of people were wrong too when they said that Universal would not pull their music. But I think both sides have a good argument. TikTok is saying, listen, you know, we don't pay you super well, but we help launch songs and launch artists for you. And the artists also get the benefit because they get, you know, appearance fees and stage shows. So they make their money off their live performances. Universal gets to break music and then they make money off of radio play or, you know, commercial or movie ads. And TikTok benefits because they get to have their creators have access to music. So right now, you know, everybody is winning. But I guess Universal's putting their foot down saying, hey, this is our music. We own it. You guys got to pay it, pay us for it. And I guess they looked at and they know that these platforms, these social media platforms, especially TikTok, who is more home to creators and not so much influencers like how Instagram is, that TikTok is going to have a hard time maintaining their place in the social media sphere without having music, especially music like Universal. Where I think it actually might even get even worse is that if other music labels start pulling their catalog from TikTok, then TikTok is going to be in real trouble. And of course, they're going to have to pay out. I will keep you guys up to date. I will trend on this, but let me know what you guys think in the comment section below. Is it over for TikTok or will they have to start paying out? Let me know what you think in the comment section below. All right, it's time for everyone's favorite quick news. Ring my bell. All right, over the weekend, Drake and J. Cole kicked off their tour. The tour name is Big As What? You guys know from their song, As Big As the Super Bowl. They kicked off their tour. It's all over social media. It's not only over social media for them kicking off their tour. Drake is actually in some questionable, like, costume for those who can't see this, I'll describe it to you. Kind of looks like a dinosaur kind of outfit, like the bones of the back of a dinosaur. I have no idea what's going on. If anybody has gone to the first concert or somebody knows why he's wearing this outfit, please let me know. But it's trending all over social media. We don't know what Drake is wearing. And Drake is also trending because during the concert, when they play his and Rihanna's song Work, he said this. I'll play a small little clip.
Yeah, I don't sing this song anymore. You can sing it for me.
Why aren't you performing Work anymore? Like, what's going on? Jess Hilaris was on The Breakfast Club this morning, and she said, by the way, shout out to Jess on her first day at The Breakfast Club. Jess was like, hey, if you don't want to perform the song, why wouldn't you just tell your DJ to not play the song? So the fact that he put it on and then said that, Jess is assuming that he did it on purpose and he wants to shade Rihanna purposely. Like, who knows? Maybe he thought it would actually trend just like how the Grammys thought it would trend. I guess that's what you got to do now. You got to have trending viral moments for people to know that the Grammys are on and that Drake and J. Cole's concert started. Maybe he's doing the same thing as the Grammys. Who knows? But anyways, and also too, I heard also this morning that he has thrown shade at Rihanna on a song like last year, but I don't know what's going on with that. More importantly, the Drake and J. Cole concert has kicked off. If you guys are Drake and J. Cole fans, get your ticket now. I think there's still some tickets available, but it's going to sell out quickly. Nelly and Ashanti were spotted in Miami at Club 11. I was actually there when I was there for Art Basel. Shout out to the people at Club 11. It's super dope club. It's actually a 24-hour club. It never closes. It's absolutely crazy. Anyways, I'm going to put up a picture on YouTube, and people are speculating that Ashanti is pregnant, which we know that it's not really a surprise because they kind of hinted it a couple of months ago, but she has like a, you know, some short shorts on and she has like a really big t-shirt over it. She looks a little thicker than normal. And nobody addressed it. Nobody said anything. We all know Ashanti is pregnant, but she's doing like the Halle Bailey thing where she's just letting people in the media speculate and not confirm or deny. But Ashanti is looking good out here. Ashanti and Nelly back together, having kids. I always joke on my Instagram how Ashanti is my wife and how much I love Ashanti, because you guys know I am a very big Ashanti fan. But that is all jokes, and all jokes aside, I'm very happy that these two got back together. So shout out to Nelly and Ashanti. Patrick Mahomes Sr. has been arrested for DUI for the third time. Just to be clear so that nobody misinterprets this, Patrick Mahomes Sr., meaning Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback, yeah, his father, has got arrested for the third time for drinking while driving. I don't understand why this man is drinking and driving. He's Patrick Mahomes' father. Like, bro, your son has a contract that's worth $500 million. Get drunk somewhere and get a driver. You can afford it. This is being ridiculous. But I just want to make that clear, because there's a lot of people that are like, oh, Patrick Mahomes got arrested for DUI. It's Patrick Mahomes Sr. It's his father, people. This is the weekly wrap-up of the Trent Out Loud podcast. Buckingham Palace has announced that King Charles III has been diagnosed with cancer. This is actually kind of shocking. I mean, this man has waited his whole life to be king. And I think he was just crowned king just last year, and he's already been diagnosed with cancer. And it seems to me like it's actually pretty serious, the fact that Prince Harry has actually gone up to England, flown up to England after they made this press release. So I feel like it's a little bit more serious, but I'll read to you the press release and then we'll take it from there. This is an official statement from Buckingham Palace. During the King's recent hospital procedure for benign prostate enlargement, a separate issue of concern was noted. Subsequent diagnosis tests have identified a form of cancer. His Majesty has today commenced a schedule of regular treatment, during which time he has been advised by doctors to postpone public-facing duties. Throughout this period, His Majesty will continue to undertake state business and official paperwork as usual. The King is grateful for his medical team for their swift intervention, which was made possible thanks to his recent hospital procedure. He remains wholly positive about his treatment and looks forward to returning to full public duties as soon as possible. His Majesty has chosen to share his diagnosis to prevent speculation and in the hope that he may assist public understanding from all those around the world who are affected by cancer. So for all those who follow the royal family, you know that the royal family and Buckingham Palace is very, very tight-lipped. They do not let anything out. So I think this is actually pretty serious. And the fact that they haven't said the kind of cancer, and I think obviously if it was prostate cancer, they would have said it, because they said that he was in there for an enlarged prostate. So anyways, I don't want to speculate too much, but like I said, they're not saying the type of cancer. And then I found another article that said Prince Harry arrives in London to see Father King Charles after his cancer diagnosis. And they're not super close, and there's rift in the family. Anyways, I will keep following this story and let you guys know. There's also one more article that I found. Buckingham Palace has announced that King Charles has been diagnosed with cancer from his recent hospital stay. According to NBC News, the palace said in a statement, during the King's recent procedure, a prostate, okay, I read that already. Although they did not detail the exact cancer or its stage, they did clarify that he does not have prostate cancer. The announcement of his diagnosis did come a week after he was discharged from a private London clinic after medical procedures. The palace official statement also shared that the King decided to share his diagnosis publicly to prevent speculation and in hopes to assist public understanding for all those affected around the world by cancer. So it's just exactly what I read to you, the statement that they put out. Anyways, this is shocking. I don't really follow the royal family that much on Buckingham Palace news. I've had actually been there once as a kid on a trip to see my aunt. Anyways, let me know what you guys think about this. If he actually passes away, I know I don't shouldn't be talking about him passing away just because he's been diagnosed. But like I said, the news sounds skeptical to me, and the fact that Harry has flown right away there, I think we're probably going to hear more about this in the next couple of weeks. But that means that Prince William would be the king if Prince Charles were to pass away, or if he comes to a point that he can't fulfill his duties. Anyways, this is big for England. This is big for the royal family. Like I said, he was just king for like almost just a year. But let's hope I'm wrong. Let's hope that he is fine and he returns to his duties and he's able to, be king. People, have different opinions about the royal family. I'm actually just looking at him as a human being right now. And I reserve my thoughts about the royal family. Me being a West Indian, a Jamaican, and with slavery and all of that stuff. I'm not going to get into that, but I'm not looking at it as a royal family. I'm actually just looking at him as a human, and you always want good health and prosperity for humans. Anyway, that's what I want anyway. So let me know what you guys think in the comment section below. Let me know what you think. Okay, I have a small update on Killer Mike. Everybody knows that Killer Mike was arrested. Well, actually, now we know, my update is that he actually wasn't arrested. Actually, everybody saw him being taken out of the Grammy Awards in handcuffs, and we all assumed that he was under arrest. But new reports say, and actually he even confirms, that he was not arrested, that he was just detained. I'll read to you a little bit of the article. Killer Mike has offered an explanation to the incident at the Grammys that saw him handcuffed, attributing the situation to a mix-up and an overeager security guard. Speaking to TMZ, the rapper explained that amidst the chaos of the event, there was confusion about the correct entry door for him and his team. He described their encounter with the security guard, who was excessively zealous in their duties, but remained optimistic about being exonerated from any blame. Killer Mike went on to say, "As you can imagine, there was a lot going on and there was some confusion around which door my team and I should enter. We experienced an overzealous security guard, but my team and I have the utmost confidence that I will ultimately be cleared of all wrongdoing," he explained to the outlet. A source familiar with the situation shared that Killer Mike and his entourage experienced a minor hiccup while attempting to access the venue. Though it was not made specific whether this was their initial attempt to enter or a return, the confusion over the appropriate entrance and procedure led to a confrontation with a security guard who, according to the accounts, was unduly difficult, prompting Mike to proceed past the guard. So there you have it. It wasn't a big, huge thing. It wasn't anything outside of the Grammys. Killer Mike, who won the award for Best Rap Album, Best Rap Song, and Best Rap Performance, a clean sweep at the Grammys, was not arrested for anything outside of the Grammys. He had a small, confrontation, argument, misunderstanding with one of the security guards. The police came and detained him, and he was let out afterwards. Why he was placed in handcuffs and escorted out of the arena like that, that is still up for conversation. It looks like Mike is taking the high road and not really like going after the police for doing that. I've read a couple of articles now about it and he hasn't said anything. He's being nice, but maybe he just wants this swept under the rug and he actually just wants people to concentrate on the fact that he is a Grammy winner, that he's a three-time Grammy winner, and that he swept the Grammy. So it's a smart PR campaign. Instead of making it a bigger issue, he wants people to focus. That's what I think anyways. He wants people to focus on his accomplishment. So that is what I'll do. Let's put this to bed. Killer Mike was not arrested. He was simply detained for getting into an argument with a security guard. That's all over. Let's concentrate and spend the next year until the next Grammys saluting Killer Mike and hailing him up for being, a three-time Grammy Award winner. I really, really like Killer Mike. He's a big activist. He's always out here on the political campaign, and he's a good dude. He does a lot for his community. He does a lot for Atlanta. I follow Killer Mike, and I do like the album. So shout out to Killer Mike. Let me know what you guys think in the comment section below. All right, those are my two leading stories. Now let me get to quick news. Ring my bell. Drizzy Drake is the number one trending person in the world right now, and it's not for what he normally trends for. It's not for music. It's for a video leak. Listen to this. On Tuesday, February the 6th, a video of the Canadian rap star pleasuring himself in bed while naked from the waist down surfaced online and quickly went viral. Needless to say, the X-rated footage sparked a flood of shocking reactions on social media, with one person writing on X, formerly Twitter, "Why did I see Drake's private parts on my timeline?" Somebody else warned their followers, "Do not check why Drake is trending." That would be me, man. I was like, why is Drake trending? I wish I didn't check, and I wish I didn't see what I had to see. Oh my gosh. Anyways, there were also their fair share of jokes, with one person saying, "Not gonna lie, Drake really a perfect dude, bro. Bro is light skin, unlimited money, drip, and he also has a lot to work with." I'm going to put up some pictures. Obviously, I'm going to cover up the video, actually the picture. We're going to obviously blur it out on YouTube so we don't get our video taken down. I actually asked one of my friends who is a female to do this for me, so I didn't have to like watch the video and edit it out, because it's not what I want to see. I sent her the video. She put some emojis over the parts that, we don't want to see, or maybe some of you do want to see, but you could find that out on another site. But anyways, Drake is out here trending. Drake has, I think this is Drake's kind of first like nude leak ever. Although it's not really that much of a big deal. So many celebrities have leaks out nowadays. I mean, I think it's happened to everybody at this point. But it's actually funny that Drake's been out here for almost like 15 years, and this is his first time. Anyways, he's trending. That's, in case you want to know why Drake is trending, that's what it is. If you do want to see it, head over to Twitter to see the uncensored version. If you want to see my censored version, it's on YouTube. And also, to be clear, Drake's face cannot 100% be seen in the video. So it's actually up for speculation if it is really Drake. He's actually recording the video in bed, but his phone is covering his face. He moves it a little to the side a little bit, and you see kind of like, I don't know, maybe 30% of his face. So you don't know 100%. And of course, it's like a blurry video. But the reason why people do think it is him is that, he has his beard, he has his braids. It looks like he's in a posh place. And he has a Richard Mille watch on. That's like a million point five watch. So the fact that the guy is light skinned, looks like Drake, you know what I mean? Like, and you have that watch in a posh setting, that's more why people are thinking it is Drake. But just to be clear and do some proper reporting, Drake has not confirmed the video. And I don't think he will. Anyways, I think he'll just ignore it. He won't say anything about it, and he'll just let it live or die out. No pun intended. But anyways, like I said, if you guys want to see it, go over to Twitter. If you just want to see the edited version, head over to my YouTube page at Trend Out Loud. That's for the ladies out there. I know I got some lady followers. I know, men, I would advise you not to look. Let me know what you guys think in the comment section below. If you have seen this, do you think it's Drake, or do you think it's a fake Drake or somebody that looks like him? And people are just trolling online. Let me know what you guys think in the comment section below. Megan Thee Stallion is number one. Megan Thee Stallion celebrates her number one hit song, Hiss. And she puts out a video celebrating. Here's a little bit of her celebration last night on Instagram.
What can I say? What can I say? I know I'm gonna say thank you, because that's the main thing to say is thank you. Like, number one, y'all, I didn't know what the f-. Like, I did the song, recorded the video. Hold on, let me tell y'all really the process. Y'all know I was going through it at a point in life, and I couldn't put out music and blah, blah, blah. All the old, we don't gotta bring that up, but I couldn't even put out music. I didn't have nobody backing me. I couldn't do anything. Like, there was no labels paying for my shit. When I say I went in Megan Pete bank account.
You know what? Good for Megan, man. Good for, round of applause for Megan's, man. Y'all know that I love Megan. I covered her and Nicki Minaj's, you know, beef back and forth. I told you I love how she did it. She put out this one hiss track. She never even said Nicki Minaj's name. And then for the next 5 or 6 days, Nicki Minaj was tweeting. She was going on live. She was going on every single platform. She made it, you know, I think two diss songs back or maybe one reply back. Anyways, Nicki exhausted herself. And like I said, and I think Charlamagne said too, where it's like, actually, no, for sure, Charlamagne did say this, where it's like, Megan won and Megan doesn't need to reply. She came back with a number one song. She debuted at number one on the billboards. And this is not streaming. This is not Spotify. This is not Apple. This is not YouTube, etc. This is Billboard. This is what counts in the music industry. Megan is number one. And Nicki is not in the top 10 with her reply, Bigfoot. I know she got some numbers on YouTube, but anyways, this goes all out to say that, you know, you don't always have to reply and get into the weeds. You know, you could put a little feeler out there and just let, you know, just let the world just, you know, take its course. So I really love how Megan played this. I said this last week. It was super strategic. She let everybody online talk. The people who loved her, the people who hated her, Nicki Minaj. It was all the talk last week. And it got her a number one record. So I applaud her for it. I applaud her team. It was well strategized, well thought out. You all took the bait, and now she has a number one record, and she's sitting down making all kinds of money off of this song for hinting that she was dissing Nicki Minaj. So I salute Megan for this. I salute her team. Let me know what you guys think in the comment section below. Do you like the song? And do you like the strategy? And what do you think? And do you think it's going to stay in number one? Let me know what you think in the comment section below. Sexy Red has officially delivered her baby. Sexy Red, who is not everyone's favorite, who I love, by the way. Do you notice I love the most controversial, like, ratchet people? I love all this stuff. Like, people like, Ice Spice, I don't like her song, I don't like her music. Sexy Red, Mega, I love all of this stuff, man. This, to me, that's what an artist should be. An artist, I don't like my artist clean and polished and, you know, like, that's reserved for the business world. Like, you're an artist, you're supposed to be messy, you're supposed to be controversial, you're supposed to be ratchet a little bit, you know what I mean? That's how I like my celebrities. Anyways, Sexy Red delivered her baby. She put out some pictures in the delivery room, like only Sexy Red can. Like I said, I will put it up on my YouTube page. Go to Trend Out Loud YouTube, and you guys can see the pictures of Sexy Red. And underneath, she's in the room with glasses on, her purse, getting her hair done. And she put underneath the caption, while she's sitting down there with her glasses and her purse, she says, "Me waiting to get discharged from the hospital so I can hit the block with the guys." Like, I love it. I just love it, man. Anyway, she has not revealed the gender of her baby, and she hasn't revealed the name, but shout out to Sexy Red. Congratulations on delivering a healthy baby, surviving the delivery. Like Charlamagne always highlights, there is a high rate of Black female mothers dying during delivery in the U.S. right now. So we got to highlight every time any woman of color, you know, has a healthy birth. So shout out to Sexy Red. I love it, man. Don't ever change. Don't ever grow up, man. Keep on being how you are. I love Sexy Red. And in my last news story, again, female rap beef. I don't know what's going on in the female rap world, but Ice Spice and Latto are going back and forth. Latto has now put out the cover for her song Sunday Service. If you guys know, last week, Latto put out a Clip It. Ice Spice's video was playing in the back in the Sprinter. Ice Spice came out and said, "Why are you playing my video in the back?" Then Latto was like, "Yo, I can roll up in your hood with 20 Suburbans." And then Latto actually did that. I'll play the video up on my YouTube channel. So Latto was in was in Ice Spice's hood in Brooklyn rapping on her block. And now she put out a cover for Sunday Service, which is going to be obviously going at Ice Spice. There could be other people in there because in the back of the picture, there's other female rappers and the eyes are blurred out. If I'm looking at this right now, Sexy Red is here. Nicki Minaj is here. Ice Spice is here. I think Lil' Kim is here. So I don't know. Missy Elliott. No, she cannot be going after Missy Elliott. Anyways, again, like I said about Megan, this is really smart PR. People know nowadays, if you want to have anything work, you need to go viral. You need to have the internet talking about you. That's probably why Drake leaked this video, because he just announced his tour with J. Cole. By the way, he's adding Lil Durk to that tour, but the tour is out. You see, on Sunday with the Grammy Awards, they made a mistake tweeting Nicki Minaj when it was really Killer Mike. It went viral. If you want to do anything in the entertainment industry these days, you got to go viral. You got to get people talking. And Ice Spice is doing this. And who knows? Maybe she might have a number one song like Megan, but it's heating up. I love Ice Spice and Latto, but y'all know me. I'm about strategic warfare. So let's see who plays this beef properly. Let me know what you guys think in the comment section below. This is the weekly wrap-up of the Trend Out Loud podcast. According to academics, Drake was being extorted by an ex-girlfriend, and that's why his video leaked yesterday. Take a listen to this.
Allegedly, Drake was getting extorted by some chick. Drake basically was like, man, just let it come out. But I do think it's more important that he didn't just bow down to this chick or whatever and probably like paid her, because at the end of the day, man, first of all, I'm a little shocked that Drake is even like, this is kind of odd. This is like, there was another video that Drake had sent where he was like in front of a mirror, like a mirror picture or something like that to a girl. I'm surprised that Drake is sending pictures to any girl. Why does he need to send pictures or videos of himself to you?
All right, so I'm sure most of you by now have seen the video, or for those who haven't seen it, I'm sure you heard about the video. Like I just played for you, according to academics, we now have our answer how the video got out, and apparently Drake is being extorted. A lot of people thought that Drake leaked it out himself. Even yesterday, I was like, yo, maybe Drake leaked it out himself to cause a viral moment for himself because his tour is out. But apparently, he was being extorted by a girl that, of course, just wanted money. And it makes sense because a few months ago, Adam22 said that he got a picture of Drake, like a selfie picture of him in the mirror, of him, like, you know, exposing himself or whatever. And Adam22 said that some girl told him that he had it and that he wanted money from Drake. So apparently there's a couple of videos or pictures out from Drake, and these girls are trying to get money. And Drake is like, yo, just put it out. I'm not giving you a penny. But two things is that, A, why would you try to extort Drake? Like, this is the last person. Like, you're not, it's nothing that's embarrassing or nothing that's exposing of him. Like, that's just stupid. You're better yet of, like, if you got to the level where you're talking to Drake and he's sending you pictures like that, exposing himself, why wouldn't you try to continue the relationship? Why wouldn't you continue to nurture that relationship instead of totally getting yourself X'd out of his life completely? And then, like, if you're that kind of girl that is around celebrities like that to have access, now no dude is going to mess with you. So whoever these girls are, they're stupid. That's just dumb. And second of all, I also agree with academics. Like, what is Drake thinking? Like, well, I kind of partly agree with him because he was more saying, you know, why is Drake doing this? Because he doesn't need to do this to get girls. But my thing is, why is he doing this? Not assuming that somebody is not going to put that out. Like, you're Drake. Like, are you nuts? Like, I'm nowhere near the celebrity of Drake, and I wouldn't send out pictures of myself to girls worrying if they might want to leak it out. Like, this, like, Drake is crazy. Like, I would not, first of all, I'm not a guy to do those kind of things anyways. Like, I'm old school like that. Like, nobody has any sort of pictures of me at all. But if I were to, that would be like my wife or something. That wouldn't be some girl who I'm just dating or talking to. Like, Drake is crazy for that, man. Not only does he not need to do that, like I said, I agree with academics. He doesn't need to do that. He's Drake. He should just be able to get a girl just on the basis that he's Drake, successful and all that stuff. But on top of it, how could you trust a girl with that kind of information? You got to know that she's going to want to expose that. Forget the extorting. You know she's going to want to expose it and put it out and say, yo, look at my pictures of Drake. But I don't know. Maybe he knows that that's going to happen. Like, I don't know. I don't know, man. Maybe he's calling academics and being like, yo, say that somebody was extorting me and he wants it out. Who knows what people are doing? Anyways, the point is that Drake is viral. People are talking about him. And I don't feel like he is unbothered at all. I mean, like, even Adam called him and Aiden said something about like, yo, Drake, you're talented, this, whatever. And you got a missile. And Drake was like, yo, this might be my next album intro. I'm going to see if I could find a clip of it and play it for you guys.
Hold on one sec. I'm going to send him a voice memo. You're blessed with your voice. You're blessed with performing. You're blessed to be you. You're blessed to be number one. But you're also blessed to have a fucking missile. Oh, he just texted me. He put like 8 laughing emojis.
He doesn't care.
He said this might be my next album intro. Oh, great.
But yeah, so Drake is having fun with it. He said it might be his next album intro. Who knows? He's having fun with it. Drake is clearly unbothered. So shout out to the boy Drizzy. Kanye West dropped a new video with his daughter, North. I obviously cannot play the audio because I don't want my video being taken down, but I will put up the visuals. I talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago when North was showing us the treatment of the video. It's weird because in the treatment, she was saying, like, I'm going to get into my Lamborghini and I'm going to go here. I'm going to Nobu. And you thought it was kind of like an outside video. And for those of you who can't see this right now, what I'm playing next to me, the video was just her and Kanye kind of like sitting up in a studio, like in a chair. But it's a really nice video. It's really cool that he's actually doing a video with North. For those of you who don't know, North is always on TikTok. She's always on social media. She loves the camera. Like, she definitely is going to be a superstar. So it's really cool that, you know, your dad is Kanye West and he's letting you do your own video and he's letting you, you know, on his track for his album. So I thought that was really nice. But also, you know, the flip side to this video releasing is that Kanye actually put out a post today saying that he's trying to, you know, release this album. We all know, I've been talking about this for like the past month or two, that he's trying to release Vultures and he's trying to book stadiums to have concerts and no venues are letting him book a concert. Listen to this.
Notice, yay, we just sold out the United Center in 7 minutes. And I just wanted to express to everybody out there to see if it's anyone that can help with this. It's the only arena that I had access to in the past year. And when I call, people say there's no avails for me. And you know why that is. So if there's anybody out there that can help with this, please do.
So this is a result, obviously, of his anti-Semitic remarks a year and a half ago. And people like me said that you can't cancel Kanye. You can't blackball Kanye. He's too big of an artist. He has too many followings. And like I said, the past two or three times that I've talked about Kanye, you know, it looks like I was wrong. His sock release shoe didn't do well. You know, he tried to have album release parties in Miami at Art Basel. He got blocked there. He had to do it in an Airbnb. And now you see Kanye is releasing Vultures, apparently February the 9th. He's putting out this video, but the only stadium that will let him do any sort of concert or any sort of appearances is this venue in Chicago, his hometown, but he can't get it done anywhere else. So I don't know what is going to happen with Kanye. I don't know what's going to happen with this album. I don't know where he's going to release it, but it looks like it's coming out. There's a video and there's a rollout. So let's see what Kanye West is going to do. He's got 2 more days to get this together. I'm anxious to see what's going to happen with this. Let's jump into quick news. Ring my bell. Travis Kelce finally comes out and says that he did not invent the fade. Listen to this.
That was ridiculous, man. It's absolutely ridiculous. And to do it on February 1st to throw me to the wolves like that, that was messed up, man. But I didn't invent that. I just asked for it.
You know he had to do that because he would have gotten literally torn up online. But this was a post from the New York Times. Obviously, the guy who wrote this story is clueless and has no clue about black culture. That's a black haircut. And at least Travis Kelce had to come out and talk about it and address it. On the flip side, though, is that Travis is in Vegas, and I want him to be concentrating on the Super Bowl. I don't want him sitting down talking to the media about haircuts and all of this stuff. I want him studying tape. I want him focused. I want him dialed in. Let him have, he can have all of this fun after Sunday, after they win the Super Bowl. Y'all know Kansas City is my team. I need them to beat San Francisco. I don't want them to take this lightly. Let this be the last topic of conversation about Taylor Swift, about his hair, about anything else. I want him in meetings, on the field, talking to coaches and studying tape. I want them to blow out San Francisco. I don't even want a tight game. Like, let's go Kansas City, man. Like, I am stressed out this whole week about Kansas City winning. Anyways, I digress. Talking about Taylor Swift, I have a clip that I'm going to play for you, and it confirms what I said to you guys on Monday. Taylor Swift's PR team was doing damage control after the Grammy Awards when she ignored Celine Dion backstage. That picture looked super sus. It didn't look like Celine Dion was happy at all. It looked like she was like, okay, fine, take it. And she was pissed. I'm sure Celine Dion was pissed that she came out of her house. She's sick. She's tired doing all this stuff. And she came to present Album of the Year and you just ignored her on stage. Anyways, here, listen to this clip.
I talked to someone who was backstage and the Taylor camp knew immediately it was a misstep. And they were scrambling backstage to get a photo of Taylor with Celine Dion, which they promptly put out. And that was damage control.
Like I said, I don't think a picture is enough. I think Taylor Swift needs to come out and address it. Her PR team probably doesn't want her to come out and address it publicly, because when a celebrity speaks on an incident, it just gives the incident more legs. So now people are going to rehash and retalk about it. But something that's so big like this, that's not going to get off of people's minds, I think it would be worth it to bring it back up again. So at least, you know, you get an apology or you get an explanation, because I don't think anyone's going to forget about this. This is going to be something that lingers and it's going to be a stain on Taylor Swift's career. I'm telling you, mark my words. Dr. Miami confirms that males can get, I don't want to say the word, but enhancements as well, too, in the front area. I don't want to say any words here to get my video pulled off of YouTube. But so men are getting enlargement in the frontal area. And this comes up because somebody has alleged that the Drake video that came out yesterday was, you know, Drake showing off his enhancement that he actually got when he did this tummy tuck, which I don't believe at all. I just want to tell you guys right now, I think that this person is totally capping, but it did spark some conversation online. Deborah wrote, y'all gagging over that Drake video like he ain't use his excess lipo juice to get his DDL. Like, so I don't believe this for one second. What does a DDL stand for, actually? Oh, it stands for Dominican, the D word, lift. This is ridiculous. They're just trying to make it because of the Brazilian butt lift, so they're calling it the Dominican lift. Anyways, these people are capping. I don't know. I'm not here like trying to stand up for Drake. Like, that's all his business, but I think that's just people just hating. Krishan Rock loses a total of 4,000 followers on Instagram. I don't know why people are talking about this. It's such a big deal. Krishan Rock loses another 100,000 followers, making it a total of 400,000 followers that she's lost since she put this blue face tattoo on her face. Like I told you guys, I'm going to put up these numbers. She used to have 5.4 million and now she has 5 million. Like, boo-hoo, she only has 5 million followers. I told you that she actually put out her stats on this last week. I think she had over 160,000 comments and like 100,000 shares. Followers don't need anything. Engagements mean everything. She's making probably a couple of million dollars off of that alone. So the sacrifice of her losing 400,000 followers and making a couple of million dollars is a joke. And the fact that people are still talking about it even now is showing her and her sponsors that she could still trend even weeks after doing something ridiculous like this. So it's just a matter of time before she does another ridiculous thing and that you guys are going to talk about it. And she might lose 100 or 200,000 followers, but have 500,000 engagements, and she's going to get like $1 million for it. So y'all keep talking about her because Krishana is out here winning. Beyonce just dropped a video for a new hair care line that is coming out February the 20th. I thought this was really interesting. I wanted to share it for my female audience out there. I am big on hair. You guys, I have a hat on right now, but you guys know that I got my braids. I have shared on my Instagram for, you know, the past couple of years of my hair journey. For years and years and years, I had a bald head shaving my hair. And during the pandemic, I started growing my hair for the first time, and now I have braids, and I love just the whole hair culture. It's a beautiful thing in Black culture, and the styles and the designs and, you know, just all the products and everything. I'm new to the world. I'm a couple of years in, but I'm happy to see Beyonce, you know, jumping into the hair world. You know, she did something in a video a couple of years ago. I can't remember, but she's always been in the hair culture. Jay-Z growing out his dreads, growing out his locks. He did actually say he's thinking about cutting it. But anyways, shout out to the Carters. Shout out to Beyonce for giving this to Black women and celebrating Black hair. There is some people out there that are saying that they don't want any products from Beyonce, and they don't like that she's actually getting into this world because Beyonce is always wearing weaves and she's not wearing her natural hair. We haven't actually seen Beyonce in her natural hair. And a lot of these Black products, Black hair products out there are to promote especially Black women and also Black men to wear your natural hair, to not have to wear weaves or extensions and celebrate Black hair and Black culture. And Beyonce, we have never really actually seen her in her real hair. So there's a little bit of a mixed review, but y'all know me. I'm a little bit a part of the Beehive. I'm a little bit of a Beyonce stan. So anything that she does, you know, I'm a support. But I know I have to say that, you know, they do have a little bit of a point that, you know, I would love to see Beyonce at some point rock her natural hair or rock her natural fro, or, you know, just even if her hair is straightened out, I would love to see how Beyonce's natural hair looks. And I would like to see her promote, you know, natural, beautiful Black hair. But that's just my two cents. I'm still a Beyonce fan. So shout out to B. And I will definitely look into her products. I hope she's making some products for men. But we'll look into it. Sexy Red drops a video on Instagram from her hospital bed. I reported on this yesterday when actually I thought she was just doing pictures, but what she was actually doing was actually putting out filming, not a real like official video. I don't think it's going to be on YouTube, but just a little snippet video on Instagram. I thought it was really funny. But like I said yesterday, man, I love the ratchetness. I love the ghetto stuff that Sexy Red does. I love it. I love now that we have more visuals of Sexy Red in the hospital after she delivered a baby. Nobody else could do this. Nobody else could pull this off. But Sexy Red, maybe Sukiana could pull something like this off too. But anyways, for those who want to see the video, I have pulled it off of Instagram. It's on my YouTube page. You can go to Trend Out Loud at YouTube and see the video. I'm playing it right beside me right now. It's hilarious. Shout out to Sexy Red. I love you. And like I said yesterday, please don't ever change. Don't get money and change up on us and get Hollywood. Anytime you have a baby, I want you to film a video in the hospital bed. Anytime you do anything, I want you to stay as ratchet and ghetto as possible, because this is what we love you for. The results are in on the Grammys, and the viewership is actually up 34% from last year. I told you guys on my review of the Grammys that I actually really enjoyed the Grammys this year. I always watch the award shows, and the shows, like, for the past couple of years have been kind of like dry. But I told you guys that Trevor Noah did a good job, and the actual show was really good. I watched it from 8 to 11:30. I didn't fast forward. I didn't skip. I didn't go away. It was actually really good. So I'm not that surprised that it is up. I'll read a little quick article. The 66th Annual Grammy Awards took a fast car towards rating success on Sunday, bringing in 16.9 million viewers with a show that featured several high-profile performances and surprises. This marks a 34% improvement from last year's show, which reached 12.4 million viewers and the most watched Grammys since 2020. Now, if you go back to, I don't know, 10 years ago, the viewers 10 or 15 years ago, the Grammys was watched by like 40, 50, 60 million people, but TV is just not what it is. People are on their phones. People know they could just watch clips on the internet. People are just going to watch it on YouTube. But for the Grammy Awards to be up 34% from last year and 16 million viewers, shout out to the Grammys. You guys did a good job. I can't wait for next year, man. I like watching award shows. I like that. Ziggy Marley pens a letter to his dad, Bob Marley. For those of you who don't know, well, you should know by now, the Bob Marley movie One Love is dropping February 14th. And Ziggy Marley, you know, they're doing their press release and they're doing their, what do you call that? Movie previews. Can't remember the name right now. What is the name when you do, when you put out a movie? A preview or a screening? A screening. They did a screening for One Love. I saw Kelly Rowland was out there. A bunch of celebrities were out there. So this is a letter that Bob Marley, I'll just read the whole article to you. Ziggy Marley wrote an emotional letter to his late father, Bob Marley, who would have been 79 years old today. The letter shared what the artist has learned from his father, the physical traits he sees in him that were passed down from the reggae star and the legacy that he left behind. Ziggy wrote, "I miss everything about you, but mainly your presence. I listen to you." Ziggy continued his letter by sharing how he gained his spirituality from his father and noted how not only does he see parts of Bob in him, but he also sees the similarities in his own children. Bob Marley sadly passed away at the age of 36 after a four-year battle with cancer. Anyways, that's really sad. I miss Bob Marley, man. Every New Year's when I DJ my New Year's Eve party that I have at my house, I always play at least three or four Bob Marley songs, and everybody's on the dance floor. It's always a party. I come from a Jamaican family, so Bob Marley's always going to be a smash around my family. And I cannot wait to go and see that movie February the 14th. I want everybody to go out and support that movie. I'm going to bring my mom and my dad with me, and maybe my aunt. And I'm going to try to get most everybody from my family. I'm bringing everybody to the theater. But y'all go out and support that movie. One Love. Shout out Bob Marley and the whole Bob Marley family. Kai Sinai says the best looking girls are from where? Toronto. Yo, listen to this.
Which city got the best looking girls? From my experience, bro, Toronto got a lineup. You are, bro, chat. Toronto got a lineup, gang. When I was there for Drake tour, bro, and the parties we was going to, my nigga, I ain't gonna lie, bro. It was crazy.
Yo, shout out to Kai. I will say, though, as a Montrealer, yo, we got some nice girls out here, too. But whatever, I'll take the Toronto as a win because, you know, that's representing Canada as a whole. Canada is too small of a country. We only have like 35, like 40 million people here. We're too small of a country to be like, you know, separating. So when you say Toronto, we take that as Canada and we take that as a win for the whole country. It's like the Raptors. It's not the Toronto Raptors. It's the Canadian Raptors. That's our team. So all the girls that are in Toronto represent Canada. So shout out to Canada. Shout out to the girls. And shout out especially to Montreal girls, because you know these Montreal girls ain't playing out here, man. Shout out to Montreal and Toronto. Even some Vancouver girls, all right? shout out to Canada. This is the weekly wrap-up of the Trend Out Loud podcast. Monique was on Club Shay Shay, and she went in on everybody. I mean, I'm sure most of you have heard by now. I think Club Shay Shay released the Monique episode on Tuesday. It's been 48 hours now. I listened to the podcast when it first released. Couple of minutes into it, I was like, I gotta wait for YouTube to come out. I watched the YouTube. I still got 40, 50 minutes, but it's all online. I mean, Monique has gone after everybody. Again, every time I talk about Shannon Sharp, I really got to shout him out. He is doing so good. He is doing numbers out here for a podcaster, a YouTuber. It's inspiring. I was just thinking about that this morning, and I'm like, why am I always shouting Shannon Sharpe out? Is that, yes, I know he's a celebrity and he's an NFL Hall of Famer. I get it. But at the end of the day, he's still new to this world of podcasting. He's new to this independent circuit of journalism. And for a fellow podcaster, I mean, it's just inspiring to see that, you know, he is out here garnering the biggest interviews in the celebrity entertainment world. And for somebody as a podcaster who handles pop culture and entertainment news, it's inspiring. It just lets me know and others who I follow that we're on the right track. And you know, in a couple of years from now, you're not going to need cable. It shows that you don't need it already, but it just shows that this is the future. So shout out to Shannon Sharpe for garnering the biggest interviews, landing the biggest interviews in entertainment out today. All right, let me get back on track. So Monique went after, I made a list. She went after D.O. Hughley. She went after Kevin Hart. She went after Oprah Winfrey, Tyler Perry, Lee Daniels, Tiffany Haddish. She made a little dig at Charlamagne and the Breakfast Club. Of course, she went after Netflix. And she didn't actually go after Taraji P. Henson, but she did use Taraji P. Henson as the catalyst for this interview. You guys know that Taraji came out a couple of weeks ago when she was, maybe it's like a month or 2 months now, when she was covering, when she's doing the press for Color Purple, and she said that Black women actresses are not getting paid what they should. They're not getting treatment. And everybody was like, yeah, Monique has been saying this for weeks and for years and years and years. And now Taraji is just bringing light. So of course, you know that Monique is going to take this opportunity to be like, now everyone's talking about it. I've been saying this about Oprah. I'm saying this about the studio heads for years, and you guys keep dragging me. And this is exactly what I'm saying. So she used Taraji as a catalyst for this interview and for this conversation. I am not going to play all the clips. It's all over social media. Shannon Sharpe is reposting every second of it all the time, repurposing it. So it's everywhere. So I don't want to just keep adding to the repurposing. I will play, though. Actually, I will read what D.L. Hughley wrote on his Instagram in reaction to Monique's interview. Listen to what he wrote. The reason lies and false narratives continue to go on and circulate is because they go unchecked. What you're not going to do is call out my name and not get checked. Monique is a liar. And you put that in big cap locks. She is consistently throwing rocks and hiding the hand. You don't get to tear people down and then soften the blow by calling them brother, sister, or sweet baby. That's not love. Far from it. I'm sure Ike Turner thought he loved Tina Turner too. I will never forgive or forget the way you tried to manipulate my daughter's trauma to fit your sick narrative. I don't play when it comes to mine because I love my family for real and they actually love me back. That last line is him throwing shade because Monique's entire family doesn't speak to her, has blackballed her, and has gone on Oprah Winfrey and talked about her. So he's referring to his family being close to him and her family not even being close to her or liking her. And he's just using that to say, like, hey, not even her own family likes her. So that's where that comes from. There is somebody that tweeted something out, though, that I want to also read to you. D.L. Hughley is the same man that didn't believe his daughter was S.A. I'm not going to say the word because YouTube will flag me and so will the podcast platforms, but S.A. because her abuser was his friend. He's also the same man who was glad that his outside baby passed away. Sick, nasty man, and I believe everything Monique said about him. There's people in the comment section that challenged her on this tweet, and she came out and said there is a interview where DL has said all of these things. So, like I said, I'm not going to pull and pull all that up, whoever wants to go and look at that, you can go on your on because this literally goes down a dark rabbit hole. And I don't feel like being that negative today. So that is my recap of the Monique interview on Shannon Sharpe. Like I said, she did go after a lot of people. She did tell an interesting Kevin Hart story that to me was the one that stuck out the most. And I haven't heard Kevin Hart come and deny it like how DL did. She said that Kevin Hart tried to mend a relationship with her and Tyler Perry and said that when Tyler Perry said, listen, I don't want to talk with her, Kevin Hart came back and said, listen, Monique, I'm sorry I couldn't repair the relationship with you and Oprah and Tyler Perry, but what I will do is I will back you with anything you need to do. And he gave her a loan. She said she repaid him the loan. And then he came back and said, thank you for repaying me. Anything else you need? And she said, listen, I'm working on a talk show. He said, no problem. I'll executive produce a talk show. I'll put the money. You are my aunt. You are my friend. You are my sister. You are my family. I love you. I'm sure Monique probably helped him out when he was coming up. Don't forget, Monique is 60. Kevin Hart is like 43, 45. So I'm sure when he was coming up on the comedy circuit, Monique probably helped him up. So that's why he feels like a little bit indebted to her. So she went to this production company and she said, hey, by the way, I have Kevin Hart ready to executive produce my show. He's ready to back me. And she was all excited because she said, hey, if you go to a production company and you say you have Kevin Hart behind you, they'll automatically greenlight your project. Apparently, after she got off the phone with the production company called Kevin Hart's team and they completely denied it and said that Kevin Hart never said those things and Kevin Hart, it does not have her back in the show. He will not executive produce or pay anything. So he told Monique one thing. She went to the production company and told them what he said. And then apparently when they called Kevin, he completely denied everything and Monique lost everything because of course she looks like a crazy person. So anyways, that's like a snippet of like what you're going to get out of this 2 hour and 55 minute long interview. She really goes into detail about having Tyler Perry recorded saying that he was wrong for what he did with what him and Oprah did to her, that he wants to apologize. He now denies that, but she says that she has it on tape. Shannon Sharpe said he heard the tape. She doesn't want to play the tape, and neither did Shannon Sharpe, but Shannon Sharpe said he did listen to it and did hear that Tyler Perry said that he was wrong and apologized for it. It's just really a really interesting interview, and it really pulls the curtain back behind Hollywood and lets us know what's going on. And it gives truth to what Taraji P. Henson was saying about The Color Purple and what goes on with these studios and these billionaires that we hold in such high regards and applaud. We don't know if every single thing that she said is truth or factual, but it is turning out to be that, you know, she's been saying this stuff for the past 5, 6, 7 years, and now Taraji's saying it, and she's going on, and you don't hear that many people challenging her. So it seems like she has a case. She sued Netflix. She got a settlement from Netflix. That's exactly what she went at Charlamagne for. Charlamagne, on his morning show, The Breakfast Club, today, apologized to Monique and said that she was right, that he should never have gone at her, and he should have been on her side. He actually gave her donkey of the day. Today, he gave himself donkey of the day and apologized to her. So Monique is slowly gaining traction. She's held her own for 5, 6, 7 years with this topic. And it seems like more and more things are coming to light. And it seems like she might be getting what she wants. And she tells you what she wants in this interview. She feels like Oprah Winfrey and Tyler Perry has costed her close to $30 or $40 million. And she wants her reparations. She wants the money that she lost from being blackballed from the industry for the past 5 to 10 years because of Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey. So if any of this stuff interests you, I do recommend that you go to YouTube, type in Club Shay Shay and listen to the interview. Before I do let you go, I actually just remembered, I do have one little clip where she talks about Oprah. I'll play it for you and then we'll move on past the story. Salute to Shannon Sharpe. Salute to Monique. It was a great interview. And that's all I have to say. Here's a clip.
When I speak about Oprah Winfrey, I speak about that woman because she's spoken about me. And when you begin to speak about me privately, I'm going to speak about you publicly. Mm. You've been unfair. You've been unjust. and you watched a black woman be thrown under the bus, and you said nothing.
Details of Usher Raymond's Super Bowl halftime show has leaked, and I got the goods for you. Listen to this. Dear Shade Room, I got the drop on the Usher Super Bowl halftime performance. Y'all know he ain't said nothing about who will be on stage, so I had to spill the tea to you guys first. I found out that Lil Jon will be part of the Super Bowl halftime show. I'm really close to the situation, so y'all can trust me. Also, my fam, who's directly involved with the halftime show, told me themselves. It's giving, yeah, reunion, but I don't know if Luda will also be participating, but why wouldn't he? It's giving, please let your lover and friends, that Usher, Jon, and Luda had to do it again. So this was emailed to the Shade Room. The Shade Room put a caption. She said, posts are 100% user submitted and cannot be confirmed with 100% certainty. We cannot confirm the 100% certainty of the validity of this story. So there you have it. I mean, that's not that much of a leak. We knew that that's one of Usher's biggest songs. But the reason why it is a pretty decent leak is that most celebrities that perform, most musicians that perform at the Super Bowl, they don't necessarily like to bring in a lot of guests. When Dr. Dre did it and he had Eminem, 50 Cent. Who else did he have? Mary J. Blige, a couple other people, Kendrick Lamar. That was Dr. Dre and friends. So we knew all those people were going to be there. We actually didn't know 50 was going to be there, but yes, we kind of speculated that he was going to show up. However, Rihanna came up and last year and she didn't have any guests. And there's been, I would say, most performances do not have a guest. So knowing now what we think we know that Luda is going to be there, sorry, that Lil Jon is going to be there and Luda might be there, who knows who else might show up? And we get almost kind of like an Usher and Friends reunion. Usher has had some legendary tracks with a bunch of people, Beyonce, Alicia Keys, and a plethora of other people. So let's just see. I particularly would like to see him actually keep it not that many guests just because this is his time to shine. So for me, I could just take just Usher on the stage alone. That's how much of an Usher fan I am. But it is nice when, you know, surprise guests do pop out. The one thing that I am happy about is that I don't feel like this week people are talking about Taylor Swift as much as the past week. And I'm really happy about that because I feel like Usher deserves his flowers. Like the Super Bowl halftime show is the highlight for the music artist. Like that's the one artist that gets chosen out of the year to stand on that stage and get the limelight. And people were saying that Taylor Swift is overshadowing him and no one's actually talking about Usher. Well, this week, everyone is only talking about Usher. So salute to Usher. Also, another little tidbit about Super Bowl is I also read that, you know, that Apple Music sponsors the Super Bowl halftime show. They actually pay $50 million to sponsor the halftime show. And guess how much of that goes to Usher? Absolutely nothing. Usher and every musician that has ever played at the Super Bowl has never gotten paid. Of course, the trade-off is you get 160 million people, you know, listening to your music. You're going to get downloads. You're going to sell CDs. Usher's really smart. He's actually launching a new album on the same day. So, of course, it's a trade-off. He's going to get way more than a couple of million dollars that he would have gotten paid to do the show. So yes, it's a trade-off, but $50 million, you tell them you can't break off the artist a little mill or two mills? Like, this is crazy, man. But this is the NFL cashing in. Actually, in sports news, I'm actually going to talk about the Super Bowl halftime commercials, so stay tuned for that. But the NFL is cashing in. They are the biggest league in North America, and nobody does it bigger. People online are calling out Bob Marley's side chick. Bob Marley's baby mama is getting dragged for a post that she made for Bob Marley's birthday. Listen to this. Cindy Brake Spears, who's actually the mother of Damian Marley, wrote this on her Instagram for Bob Marley's birthday. Bob, on what would have been your 79th birthday, I celebrate the incredible impact you had globally. Cherish our amazing son, Damien. Reminisce about the beautiful times we shared from 56 Hope Road to your mother's home in Delaware and Miami and New York, Oakland Street in London, Bahamas, Trinidad, and beyond. The memories are countless, but our love for you is endless. Happy birthday to the people's hero, loved and revered by all. So the problem with that post, the problem with that letter to Bob is that 56 Hope Road was the home of his wife. That was the home that Rita Marley and him lived in. So she literally just spilled the beans. Like, yes, we know that he had a kid with her. And yes, we know that that was his side chick. But the fact that she said that we shared memories in the home where you lived with was your wife, with your wife, is super messy. Like, why would she write that? That is super disrespectful. But anyways, people are just ripping her online. People have said it's disrespectful because Rita Marley is Bob Marley's wife and still is alive. And somebody said, when does Bob Marley get some of the accountability? I'm sure she didn't trespass into 56 Hope Road. And somebody posted this. The museum, the Bob Marley Museum, is located at 56 Hope Road in Kingston. This house, featuring 19th century architect, was Marley's home until he transitioned in 1981. It was converted into a museum 6 years later by his wife, Rita Marley. The main museum displays Bob Marley's personal treasures. So the fact that that is now the museum that she said that they shared memories there, of course, everyone's going to think sexual memory. So yeah, that was completely messy. Anyways, I just wanted to share that with you guys because Bob Marley, of course, is in the headlines this week because not only because it's his birthday, but the Bob Marley One Love movie is coming out February 19th. And I wanted to put this story in here to give myself an opportunity to remind you guys to support this movie. I can't wait to go see it. I am going to go see it on opening day with my parents, and I'm going to try to bring as many people from my family as I can. My father was born in Jamaica. My father was born in Kingston, Jamaica, actually, where Bob Marley was born. Well, I think he was born there, but anyways, that's where his house is. That's where he lived. My mom was born in Manchester, which is a country, so my whole entire family is Jamaican, both parents. So this is a big, big movie for us. So again, I wanted to plug this for you guys to go and watch the Bob Marley One Love movie, February 14th. Let's jump into quick news. Ring my bell. Beyonce is in the headlines today, but not the real Beyonce, the wax Beyonce, the wax figure that Madame Tussauds Museum put out that looks nothing like Beyonce. So, of course, you know, people were in the comment section tearing them up. I mean, I see Beyonce, but I don't see Beyonce. I mean, it's cute. It's just not her. This looks like Carrie Hilson. Only person I see here is Leanne Rimes. Leanne Rimes. I don't know how this looks like Leanne Rimes. By the way, for those of you who are listening to this, you could go to my YouTube page at Trend Out Loud and see the pictures that I'm putting up. Somebody said that's definitely Lisa Ray. Looks like Winnie Harlow without the vertigo. But Madame Tussauds Museum is actually not getting too much hate because they also unveiled a Rihanna figure and a Lady Gaga one. And the Rihanna one looks amazing. I feel like I'm actually staring at Rihanna, and actually also too, the Lady Gaga one is really good too. Again, I'll put both these pictures up on my YouTube page. Just go to @TrendOutLoud on YouTube and you can see them. Let me know what you guys think of the Rihanna. Let me know what you think of Lady Gaga. And do you agree with everybody saying that this looks nothing like Beyonce? Let me know. Drake is suing Triple Bree for leaking his nudes. All right, I promise you guys this is the last time I'm talking about Drake this week. I think this is a record. I think Drake has been in my podcast every day this week. But hey, when the biggest celebrity in the world's nudes leak, then of course it's going to be in the news for a couple of days. But I think it's probably over now. But apparently Drake is suing, I don't know if she's a singer or she's an actress, I don't know who she is, but Drake tweeted out, "Geez Louise, WTF, Brie. So he's admitting that it was her, and I think that he's filing a lawsuit against her. There's no details, but I just read, again, I'll put this up, Drake files lawsuit against Triple Brie for leaking his pics. So there you have it. That's a confirmation that it was Drake. We all knew it was him because we know that that was the inside of his airplane. I mean, who else could it be? But now he is, you know, doubled down and tripled down. He put out this this tweet letting us know who leaked it, and he's actually suing her. So I just wanted to let you guys know that the Drake nude video case has been closed. It's been solved. It is him. We know who put it out. He's filing a lawsuit. And hopefully on Monday when I come back, we have no more conversation about Drake and his private parts. The NFL is charging $7 million for 30 seconds. I told you guys in the last segment that I was going to talk about this in the sports section. I don't know why it's here in quick news, but whatever. But yes, the NFL is covering the most. This is going to be the most expensive commercial spots in NFL history. They're actually charging $1 million for 30 seconds. That breaks down to $233,000 per second for advertisement. I thought that was crazy. I remember the days of being at like $1 million, $2 million for commercial. See, going up to $7 million. That's insane for 30 minutes. And you know, there's some commercials that go a minute. So that means it's $14 million. But it also got me to thinking, like I was talking about in the other perspective, in the other segment, if Apple is paying $50 million and they keep getting spoken about all the time leading up to the Super Bowl, all the way during the Super Bowl and after the Super Bowl, because it is the Apple Music halftime show, $50 million is a steal. That's a bargain. If it costs $7 million for 30 seconds, $14 million for 1 minute, Apple's getting a deal only paying $50 million. If I was paying for a commercial spot, I would say, listen, I want to sponsor the halftime show. $50 million for, my gosh, first of all, Usher is up there for 13 minutes. Whoever the artist is up there for 13 minutes. Imagine what that is. Like, oh my gosh, Apple is out here winning. That's smart of them. Whoever struck that deal is winning. But anybody who wants to put out a commercial, 30 seconds, $7 million. Could you imagine how much money the NFL makes alone off the Super Bowl? I would love to hear that number. It's got to be astronomical. It's out of this world. Everyone's favorite podcaster, Bobby Althoff, is getting divorced. That was sarcastic, by the way. A lot of people don't like Bobby. And apparently neither does her husband, because he's filing for divorce. Listen to this. As most of you have heard, Corey and I have filed for divorce, which is not true, because the reports are that he is divorcing her, which I'll talk about after this. So that was her first damage control line. So let me start over. As most of you have heard, Corey and I have filed for divorce. As sad as I am right now, I am thankful for the time I got to be his wife. Our girls are so lucky to have him as a father, and I am so lucky to be able to co-parent with such an incredible father and person. While our relationship did not work out as husband and wife, we will always be friends, and I will always love him. This is so cap. Just to backtrack a little bit, for those of you who don't know who Bobby is, you probably know, if you listen to any sort of media or whatever, Bobby is the podcaster who has this kind of character where she plays dumb about the people who she's interviewing. Her big break was when she interviewed Drake and they were lying down in the bed together. And she just pretends that, I don't know who you are. I don't know that you're big. Tell me one of your songs that you're big. Like, you're sitting down and you're interviewing Drake. But again, it's a character. It's kind of funny. She also kind of got her big broke with Funny Marco, which is actually a really funny interview. But a lot of people are like, who is this girl that interviews all these hip hop and athletes? She interviewed Shaq. She interviewed Offset. Who is this girl that interviews these sport and music celebrities? And then she acts like she doesn't know who they are. And she's kind of like insulting them. And like, why is this even funny? So a lot of people don't even know why these celebrities are giving her this outlet, but I guess some people find it funny. You know, like, I find Funny Marco really hilarious. A lot of people don't find his interviews funny. he kind of plays the same role where he kind of pretends like he doesn't know who he's interviewing, but it's a character. I feel like he does it a lot better than Bobby. Anyways, I digress. That's the background of Bobby, who doesn't, for people who don't know who Bobby is. But the reason why this is a big news is that people think that her and Drake kind of had something going on. And of course she denied it. And a lot of people say that she's kind of like, you know, flirty around with a lot of these celebrities. And people are like, look, you're a whole mom. Like, I think she's 23 or 24 years old. She has two kids and she's married. And she's always denied, I'm a loving mom. I don't do this in the industry. I'm a professional. This character that I have, I just play a dumb character and a clueless character, but I'm a loyal person. I'm a great wife. I'm a great mom, etc. Drake even asked her that in the interview. And he was like, well, don't you have kids? Like, shouldn't you be at home? Why are you here, like, interviewing me here at 3 o'clock in the morning? Because apparently he just called her and she rushed out. And he addressed this whole husband and mom thing, and it doesn't really play with her persona. Anyways, she's been trying for months to maintain this I'm a good wife, good mother persona. And now you hear that her husband is filing divorce from her. So it's a little bit of a shot in her face. So that's why everyone's talking about it. Talking about Bobby, it's kind of ironic. She actually just put out an interview with Sukiyana that was actually really funny. This is actually the first interview that Bobby has done that's really funny. And you could tell a little bit that she's dropped a little bit of her dumb character. And now Sukiyana is the one kind of more playing dumb. I'm going to play it for you.
What do you know?
That you're a musician.
I'm a musician. Mm-hmm. What the fuck that mean? Make magic or something? What is musician?
I think you're confusing that.
Yeah, I'm not no musician. I make music.
Just really quick, I think you're confusing.
I'm not confusing nothing because you don't know. You thought that all I was a magician or whatever the fuck you said.
I didn't say magician, Suki. I said musician.
It's actually funny that I played that clip today because earlier in the other segment, I was mixing up musician with magician. Magician and musician. But when you're not thinking about it and you're talking quickly, you can mix it up. But obviously, I know the difference between the two. And of course, you know that Sukiyana was playing dumb and joking. So many people are online. There's one post that have like 40 or 50,000 comments, and people are literally making fun of Sukiyana, but they don't realize that it's a joke. I wanted to read some of them to you because they're actually hilarious. United Masters wrote, these are the comments underneath the post, underneath the Sukiyana post. So here, listen to this. United Masters wrote, we're not a music distribution company. We just distribute music. Popeyes wrote, we're not a fried chicken spot. We just make fried chicken. I think this is hilarious. The fact that Popeyes, and that's Popeyes, the restaurant Popeyes is commenting. United Masters is a big, not huge, but they're a big music distribution company. Anyways, here are some normal people that wrote some stuff. Luna Rappa 25_25 wrote, I'm not broke. I just don't have money. Will_Breeze. See, this is what I was saying earlier. Will_Breeze wrote, she's the white version of Funny Marco. It's her and Funny Marco do the same interview style. I'm telling you that Bobby plays a little bit more dumb, but maybe she's kind of changing it because I feel like the Sukiyana interview is actually going to be kind of funny. Anyways, let me get back to these comparisons. Mighty Cute 912 wrote, gosh darn it. Please tell me this is a skit. Trust me, it's a skit. Teacher NASA Virgo wrote, I'm not a teacher. I just teach kids. I just think this is hilarious. Miss the Barber wrote, I'm not a barber. I just cut hair. Tomika Marie wrote, I'm not a nail artist. I just paint nails. Anyways, I thought that was funny. Shout out to Sukiyana and shout out to Bobby. This was a funny interview. I can't wait to watch the whole thing.
For the record, could you say you don't think you're a musician?
I'm not none of that.
But then after that, you just said I do music.
Yeah, I do music.
So in other words, you're a musician.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Kanye West alert. All right, you guys know I've been tracking Kanye for the past 2 or 3 months. We think his album is actually going to release February the 9th. Kanye West just posted on his Instagram, of course, in true Kanye West style, no description, no nothing. It just writes, Vultures USB Arena, New York, February the 9th, 2004. I don't know what that means. A couple of days ago, I did report that Kanye was looking for arenas. He did tell us that he sold out the United Center in Chicago in 7 minutes, and he put out a post asking people to help him to get into more arenas, that he's been blackballed. He can't book any arenas. I saw Funkmaster Flex actually repost it and say to him, hey, I'm in the arena business. I'm in the stadium business. What stadium do you need? And you guys know that Funkmaster Flex is in New York. And now I see that Vulture's USB. I don't even know what USB stands for, but Kanye West looks like he's going to have a concert in New York. I think the album is going to drop. This is anticipated. And like I say, every time I talk about Kanye, I'm not necessarily a Kanye fan. This doesn't mean that I don't agree. That doesn't mean that like I agree with his anti-Semitic marks. I always like to make that clear. I'm just following him as somebody who follows entertainment. And for somebody who said that regardless of his wrongs, that you can't cancel Kanye. I've always said that. And every time I talk about him, so this is like a little bet that I have with myself that you cannot cancel Kanye, even if he's right or wrong. So I'm just very interested to see if he could bounce back the independent route. Can you come back without having Adidas? Can you come back after not apologizing to the Jewish community? Well, he did, but they didn't really accept his apology because they didn't feel like it was heartfelt. So he's doing it his way. He's doing it independent. And I would just like to see if it can be done. That's all. So it looks like it might happen this weekend. We'll see. We don't know where you'll even be able to buy this album. Is it going to be on Spotify? Is it going to be on Apple Music? Is it going to be only on his site? What's going to happen with Kanye West? He tried to release that sock shoe independently. It didn't work. I was wrong about that. I thought that he would be able to launch it. If he cannot release this album properly, if his sales are not anywhere near Kanye numbers or even close to it, I would say at least he would have to do 100,000 the first week independently. You know, if he was on a major record label, 200 or 300 would be good. That's around what Drake does or like the bigger artists. Independent without the push, like I explained to you guys a couple of weeks ago, he doesn't have to do as much to make the same amount of money because he's getting more of it because he's owning it outright. So instead of like on a major record label, you sell $10, you sell an album for $10, you might get $1. Now, independently, if he sells an album for $1, he probably gets like $8. So he doesn't have to do 200-300, but he still has to do 80 or 100,000 units to prove everybody wrong. So I'm really just interested if he'll be able to pull it off or if it's going to be a complete flop. He says, according to him, nobody's giving him a chance. Everybody's blackballing him. He can't even get any arenas. He can't get any way to produce, to promote this album. Let's see. The video dropped with him and North 2 days ago, and apparently he has his stadium. He's going to be in New York February the 9th. Let's see if Kanye West can pull this off. And lastly, our last bit of news, Kim Kardashian and Odell Beckham are getting ready to announce their relationship. Man, I feel like an idiot. I report on pop culture and entertainment news 4 times a week. I got 4 podcasts and I had four podcasts a week and one live, so 5 a week. And I never even knew that they were together. Did any of you guys know if Kim Kardashian was and Odell Beckham was together? I had no clue. Anyways, apparently, according to Us Magazine, Kim, who is 43 years old, and Odell Beckham, who is 30 years old, have been reportedly seeing each other for a little over a year, and things are getting serious. A source close to the couple claims that the two are debating on making the relationship public since it's going so well. The only problem is Odell is a private person, whereas Kim loves to be in the spotlight. They're getting serious, the insider said, noting that Odell's personality is much more private than Kim's. He's low-key, while Kim is more accustomed to the limelight, sources claim, adding that they are currently trying to figure out the next steps in their relationship. The relationship has been blossoming longer than people thought, for like a year, a second insider told US Weekly. If y'all remember back in 2016, it was rumored that Odell was Chloe's boo after the two were spotted getting cozy at a party. Though the pics went viral at the time, Chloe claimed they were just flirting and it was nothing serious. Nevertheless, Odell is now Kim's man and she is ready to pop out. What do y'all think? Anyways, like I said, I never even knew that this was a thing. And Yeah, Odell is a little bit private, but he's still a celebrity. This is nothing, you know, that he wouldn't be accustomed to. But let's see if they'll announce it. And yeah, that's all I got for quick news. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. It's your boy, Turn Out Loud. For more content, you could subscribe, download, or listen to the Trend Out Loud podcast wherever you listen to your podcast, or you could watch us on YouTube. Just search Trend Out Loud. For showtimes and updates, you could follow us on all social platforms at Trend Out Loud. Go to signupexpert.com/Trent. Once you sign up for all betting apps and get all your bonuses and get all your rewards, go to your app store and download BetStamp and use promo code TOL.